The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Father in heaven, we praise your holy name on this blessed and wonderful day that you have made. Thank you, Lord, for life, health, and strength. Thank you, Lord God, for the mercy, Lord God, that you have shown us that's new every morning. We thank you and praise your Heavenly Father for showing yourself faithful unto man. For Lord God, we all can say and attest that we find no fault in you on today. Father, we can look within ourselves and find fault. We can look upon, Lord God, others and see fault. But in you, Lord, there's nothing but perfection. There's nothing but goodness and righteousness and justice. Lord God, we bless your holy name today. Lord God, because we know, Father, that you are everything that we need and more. And Father, as we come before you right now, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, that you will look upon your people everywhere. For Lord God, somebody is crying out. Heavenly Father, somebody's heart is hurting. Lord God, somebody right now is in distress. And Lord, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you would hear their inner cry, Lord God. Somebody is at the breaking point, Father, where they just can't take no more. But Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would come to their rescue. Let them know, Lord God, that they are not alone. Let them know, Lord God, that if they call, you will answer. And Lord God, while they are speaking, you will hear their cry. Lord God, I pray, Father in heaven, that you would lift the heavy burden. And Father, come against the devil on every hand. Lord God, destroy the yokes of the enemy. Come against his power and his influence, Lord God, that he have upon your people. Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, in Jesus' name, let yokes be broken, Lord God. Lord God, I pray that you would deliver the oppressed. Lord God, and let, Lord God, your people go free in Jesus' name. Lord God, send comfort right now. Lord God, upon those, Lord God, that can't seem to find rest in this troubled land. But Lord God, your word is sure. All flesh is grass. Everything is going down except the word of God. And I pray, Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, Lord God, that you give your people to know that they can trust in you. They can trust in what you say. They can trust in your holy word. And know, Heavenly Father, that you will not fail your people. And Lord God, I pray that you would have your way on today. And Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. And amen again. Glory to God. Amen. We bless the Lord. Amen on today. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. So grateful. Amen. Just to come before you once again to lift up the holy name of Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Because he is my praise and he should be your praise too. Glory to God. And I just thank God. Amen. For being able to come before you on today. Thank God. Amen. That you have tuned in wherever you are. Amen. Just to hear a word on today. And today may not be, as we would say in the church, a shouting message. Amen. But nonetheless, it's a message, amen, that will cause you, amen, to consider or just to give you a pause for thought, amen, concerning what direction, amen, that you desire, amen, to go in. Glory to God. Amen. So at that, we will be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verse 28, and also Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. And I will begin reading first Matthew chapter 10 and 28. And it reads, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." A parallel reference is found in Luke chapter 12, verses 4 and 5, which reads on this wise, "And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." May God bless us through the reading of his holy word. And today we're going to speak from the subject, hell is a real place. Amen. This is a truth that some people do not consider or think about. And it is a good thing to remind them that there are only one of two places that our soul will spend eternity, depending on the decision that is made in this life, and they are heaven or hell, eternal life or eternal damnation. The preferable choice should be the former option, but just in case you are halted between two opinions, that is to say, indecisive, it is important for you to fully understand if you make the choice not to repent of your sins and serve God, that you are in jeopardy of losing your life. Accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior ensures us that we will live again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten of the Father." He gives us to know of the danger imposed upon all who reject Christ. If you reject Christ, there is no reconciliation between you and God. So consequently, it leads to eternal damnation. Those who reject Jesus are rejecting the only one who can plead their cause. They are rejecting his atoning blood, which was shed for the remission of our sins. As long as they are of the world, they will not find salvation in any other. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 reads, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There are people today wasting their time looking for a savior among men, someone who can fix all of the world's problems and all that ails man. But I'm here to let you know that if you believe that your salvation is putting your trust in man who is subordinate to God, just like you, then your salvation is in vain. As said by the prophet Jeremiah, truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of mountains. We all can discern that this world is in trouble, and there is no politician that can fix this. There is no world leader that can fix this. The world is in the condition that it's in because of man, and it will continue to wax worse and worse. You will not find a savior among men because a savior has already come. Jesus is our hope for tomorrow and gives us hope beyond this world and hope beyond the grave. If it is your aspiration to see God's face in peace at the end of your journey, know that you will not see God except you acknowledge his Son. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus is the life giver. But you must be a believer, amen, in order, amen, to receive life. Amen. You must believe in the only begotten Son of the Father, amen, in order to have this eternal life. This qualifies you as a believer. And when you are a believer, whether living or dead, you will not see death. Jesus declared in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. This is the promise to every believer. But this is a warning and a promise to those who reject him and will not accept him as Savior, as written in John chapter 8 and 24. Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. So the choice is yours to make. If you choose eternal life in heaven, then well. But if not, understand that hell is the only other alternative, and it is a real place. When we consider the two parallel references that was read at the beginning of the lesson, Jesus gives a forewarning of whom should we fear, or whom we should fear and why. Before moving on, let's deal with what it means to fear and what it is to have the fear of the Lord. We find in Old Testament scripture, the fear of the Lord was a phrase that was used, which by translation means to show piety, reverential trust with hatred of evil. When a child of God is said to have the fear of the Lord, it means that they have a respect for God in the highest degree. They observe all of his commandments, and in doing so, they love what he loves, hate what he hates, and will never be complicit with evil. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 17, Proverbs 1 and 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." When you walk with God or enter into a relationship with him, the principal part of knowledge is knowing how to reverence him the right way. The only way to honor and worship him in a way that is acceptable is to do it out of the pureness of your heart. Psalm 19 and 9 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean." Amen. It demonstrates true religion and godliness as prescribed in the word and without defilement. It is to put to practice all that God commands of you and to be doers of the word and not hearers only. The fear of the Lord is about having a respect and showing respect. You will keep his statutes and abstain from every appearance of evil. When you fear God, you are cautious about how you behave in his presence and cognizant that he monitors all that we do. In essence, you care about, amen, what God thinks about you, which means you're mindful not to do anything contrary to the word of God or to the will of God. Having said this, based on the increasing unconscionable inhuman acts across the globe, it points to the fact that some people have no fear of God. How can you kill your brother, rape women, and murder children if you have the fear of the Lord? How can you covet another man's house and all that belongs to him and then devise a way to dispose of him just so you can take what does not belong to you if you say that you have the fear of the Lord? It is obvious that people who do such things do not care what God thinks and are concerned about the consequences. This brings us to the next segment as to why we should fear God. We talked about the fear of the Lord, as I said, which has to do with reverence, respect, honor, and worship, and how you present yourself in his presence. Amen. As to not to do anything to offend him. But to fear God is to have reason for dread or to be afraid. The Bible makes it plain that God is judge. And just as judges in our criminal court system have the authority to bring down the hammer of justice upon the lawless, God has the overall authority to bring down his hammer of justice upon the wicked. So to those who are unconcerned about what God thinks, he serves notice in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39, saying, "See now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal." So in this, he declares his sovereignty, and he alone had the power to save and to destroy, which is a good reason to be afraid of the consequences that follow our actions. Are you hearing me? There is a danger of hellfire, and some people have argued that there is no such place called hell. But when you read the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he not only preached about salvation, forgiveness, and healing, he also preached about a place called hell where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. It is a real place. And we should all fear or dread the thought of waking up in a place of endless torment and do what is necessary for us to do at all cost to avoid going to such a place. Are you hearing me? It is a place of everlasting punishment for the wicked, and not intended to be a place of comfort, but a place where there will be no relief from the eternal flames. Jesus said there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So it behooves every one of us to fear God. Fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. As explained by the late Matthew Henry in his commentary, he wrote, "Hell is the destruction both of soul and body. It is the ruin of the whole man. They sin together." Amen. The body was the soul's tempter to sin, and its tool in sin. And they must eternally suffer together. Let me read that again. He said they sin together. The body was the soul's tempter to sin or to commit sin, and its tool or vessel in sin, and they must eternally suffer together. There is a saying that I've heard said concerning people who are unconcerned and have no fear or consequences for unrepented sins or unapologetic concerning how they behave in the sight of God, and that is, they're going to bust hell wide open. When they stand in judgment before God, amen, that means their fate has already been determined. In the book of Luke, chapter 16, verses 18 through 31, Jesus spoke a parable concerning a rich man and a man named Lazarus. Now, Lazarus was a beggar who laid at the gate of the rich man, and the word of God says that he was full of sores. And the only thing he desired was to be fed, even if it was only the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. It does not say that he was ever shown any human compassion. The only compassion that perhaps he received was from the dogs that came to lick his sores. The rich man was clothed in purple and fine linen, and the word says that he fared sumptuously every day. So he was living the good life. And it would have been a small thing for him to share some of his substance with this poor man. Instead of lending a helping hand, he more than likely just walked by Lazarus every day as if he was invisible. The Bible says it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died also after him. And it says, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Jesus responded, Abraham responded, the word says, Son, remember that in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things. In other words, in your lifetime, remember, amen, you had all these good things. You were in comfort. You fared sumptuously. He said, remember, in your lifetime, you received everything that was good. And then he contrasts that in saying, and likewise, Lazarus, evil things. You didn't pay him any mind. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And on that note, I want to point out that when body and soul are cast into hell, the body will still have full use of its senses. You will see the flames. You will hear the screams of all who are there with you. You will feel the heat from the flames while burning throughout eternity. There is no escape from misery and agony, and you will have to endure that forever. Lord have mercy. If you aspire, or you, if it's your desire to get to heaven or one day see Jesus, when the rubber meets the road, it will not be about how much money you have in your bank account or the size of your home or the beautiful clothes and jewelry that you were able to buy here on earth or about the empire that you built. The only question will be, did you repent of your sins? Did you confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you know Jesus, and does he know you? Will you hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Or will you hear, depart from me, I know you're not. We have a lot of people that sit in these high seats of authority. And some people, Lord God, you know, they say, I'm a billionaire, I'm a millionaire. And they feel like money is their defense. But what does that mean to you, Lord? Nothing. Because guess what? They have to go the same way we all have to go. And when they stand before the judgment seat, amen, before God, guess what? They won't be able to bargain with him or negotiate with him. They won't be able to say, I'll write a check so I can be in the West Wing. Amen. Only thing he wants to know is, do you know Jesus? Did you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Did you repent of your sins? And if the answer is no to these things, amen, they will hear, depart from me. I don't know you. Hell is a real place. And anybody in their right mind should not want to go there. Think about it. In conclusion, Matthew 26 verse 41 gives us to know that hell or everlasting fire was not originally intended for the was originally intended for the devil and his angels. It was not intended for man. However, because iniquity has abounded and so many people are choosing darkness over light, it was well said by the prophet Isaiah in chapter 5, verse 14, which reads, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Everybody who's talking about heaven ain't going, y'all. Bad English on purpose. Hell hath enlarged herself and is growing in leaps and bounds every day, and ready to receive a multitude of people that will descend into it. Why? Because they're hard-headed, stiff-necked, rebellious, and even down to the very end, determined that they will not change. They will not repent. They will not serve God. And that will be their only alternative. If you want to make it to heaven, Jesus gives us what is prescribed in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I realize that people consider, or what people consider to be, a doomsday message are very weighty, and not too many preachers venture down this road often. But in a time such as we are living in today, people need a rude awakening. I've noticed since post-pandemic, it seems like humanity has gotten meaner. instead of coming out with a praise of thanksgiving to God for sparing their lives when death has claimed millions. Some came out with murderous intent, turning to lawlessness and wreaking havoc in the earth, which shows that they are without the fear of God. They do not fear God. And the sad part is that the wicked do not believe that they will be held accountable. But as David said in the Psalms, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Judgment day is coming. A day of reckoning is coming. And we all will have to give an account for our deeds that we have done in this body, whether it be good or evil, in the time appointed. If you consider the extreme heat conditions sweeping the world in summer 2023, parts of the United States, Europe, Asia, North Africa are experiencing extreme heat temperatures in triple digits. In places like Arizona and Texas, Nevada, China, Japan, Italy, Greece, the heat has been uncomfortable and unbearable. It was reported that the temperatures in Death Valley has reached 130 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if we as humans find it unbearable to dwell in temperatures ranging from 100 to 130 degrees, why would anybody want to go to a place whose temperature could very well be hotter than the Earth's core, which is said to be 9,392 degrees Fahrenheit? So if you cannot handle the hot weather that we are experiencing or dealing with right now, know that there is a place that's hotter than this. Heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Hell is a prepared place for an unprepared people. And on one last final note, it is left up to you to choose your destination. So what will it be? Heaven or hell? And I ask you to think on these things. Amen. And God bless you.